You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Hey, you want that to go?
Time now for some takeouts on stories you're following this week. And, of course, Congress is closed today and probably for a few more days this week because of the blizzard heading all up and down the East Coast. But Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, that's not the only thing slowed down this week. The president seems to be upset that the process of confirming nominees has been slowed as well.
The Senate does not act to confirm these nominees. I will consider making several recess appointments during the upcoming recess, because we can't afford to allow politics to stand in the way of a well-functioning government.
Todd Zwillig, what is a recess appointment?
Well, of course, as you know, Celeste, the Constitution gives the Senate the power of advice and consent. The president makes an appointment for someone in the administration. The Senate confirms them. But it also says if Congress is gone for whatever reason, the president can appoint someone during a recess. And that means the Senate is sort of out of the picture. These are very controversial. It drives senators nuts when presidents do this. You remember possibly that Democrats carped a lot when President Bush made recess appointments. In fact, John Bolton, former UN ambassador, he's been a guest on the show many times, he was recess appointed. And it drove Democrats crazy. Now the Democrats are talking about allowing the president to make recess appointments, and now it's driving Republicans crazy. Listen to Senator John Kyle. He's the Republican whip, and he seems to remember, you know, a couple of years ago when the tables were turned. Listen to this.
Democrats squealed when President Bush tried to do it as if it were something immoral and evil, and I would just ask people to be consistent in their view toward recess appointments. That was then, this is now.
Well, we'll see. Certainly nothing's going to get done this week because of the snow, or not much anyway. Todd Zwillig, our Takeaway Washington correspondent.
Our next takeout comes from São Paulo, Brazil. Paulo Cabral, BBC reporter in Brazil, joins us. So consider the fate of a populous nation with an epidemic of AIDS. What do? You take twice the population of Texas, that number of condoms, and essentially dump it on the population. That's what's going on in the annual Carnival Festival, which begins on Saturday in Rio. Brazilian health officials think 55 million condoms can do the trick, Paulo?
Yes, well, actually, this campaign has been going on for the last 10 years. Every carnival, they distribute condoms and make these conscientization campaigns. Actually, the AIDS epidemic is pretty much under control in Brazil. It's actually getting out of hand again because since treatments have gotten better, what health officials understand is that people don't see AIDS anymore as such a bad thing as it was in the 80s and 90s when medicine was not so much available or efficient. So, they have launched now a campaign 1 week before Carnival, incentivizing people to use condoms, and there will be another week of campaign after Carnival to incentivize people to test themselves if they did not use condoms during Carnival.
In the last 10 years of this program, has the Catholic Church changed its views on liberally distributing birth control like condoms?
Well, the Catholic Church often is against the distribution of condoms for contraceptive reasons. They do not say that much during Carnival. It's a huge festival. It's sort of a countrywide spring break with grown-ups taking part. So pretty much you don't see many people going against the distribution of condoms here.
Or going to church, for that matter. Paulo Cabral, BBC reporter in São Paulo, Brazil. Thanks so much.
And now let's talk about Beatlemania. That's Beetle. Bark beetles, the insects. They've been eating away at trees and leaving them dead. It's a terrible epidemic, and it's actually causing wildfires as well in the West. We're joined now by Richard Hofstetter, a forest entomologist at Northern Arizona University. And I believe, Richard, you guys think you've discovered a solution to the bark beetle that's been plaguing the West for years.
Yes, we have been looking at some alternatives, and we are looking at how bark beetles communicate acoustically, and that has led to some very interesting results where we've been able to affect their behaviors and maybe protect trees.
Well, you discovered that beetles were irritated by loud noises, and you tried playing loud rock music. You even tried playing Rush Limbaugh.
There's nothing to stop any of this. Nothing stopping it.
But even that didn't scare these insects. What worked?
Yeah, what seemed to work is we manipulated sounds that were relevant to them. So we often targeted calls and sounds that they would make and play them back, and it seemed to influence behaviors. And so we were able to alter their interest in going into trees, cause a stressful environment, even sometimes kill each other.
So here's an example of a sound you're playing. This is the sound of their own, the beetles' bodily functions when they're eating at trees.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Really? It kind of sounds like a techno music underbeat.
I want to kill myself.
So Richard Hofstetter, why does this disturb the beetles?
Yeah, you know, that's the sound of aggressive male, and even when another male hears that sound, he responds in a very significant way, and so he usually will start to attack its neighbors. So, for instance, this male would attack a female that it's tunneling with, and result in mortality.
Yeah. You're starting a bar fight.
That's essentially, yeah, exactly.
You're aggravating the males so that they start hitting each other.
Yeah. And in this case, it's often the female that's next to it. Yeah.
I love this. So, Richard Hofstetter, you've provided an insight as to why Rush Limbaugh doesn't affect me when I hear him, because he's not relevant, right?
Oh. That's true. And we found that the music and human voice didn't really affect them. After a while, they got used to the sound.
Is this effective? Can this actually wipe out all these beetles that have been terrorizing the West?
Well, I don't know if it's going to wipe them out, but maybe it can be used for individual tree protection, maybe high-value trees. It's really a device that we're looking at for individual trees.
Okay. Richard Hofstetter is an entomologist from Northern Arizona University's Forest Program. He joined us from Flagstaff, Arizona.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.